Amen. Numbers chapter 14, we begin in verse 11 tonight. Numbers chapter 14, verses 11 through 45. They say when a spaceship enters the Earth's atmosphere from outer space, it has to pass through some extremely high temperatures, as much as thousands of degrees. Heat shields are required to protect the vehicle and its occupants. Do you remember the space shuttle Columbia? It lost some of its heat shield protection while orbiting, and when they attempted to return to Earth, the heat of the atmosphere got into the vessel and it broke apart and burst into flames, and all inside were lost. When God gives us something to do, it often exposes us to a considerable amount of heat, emotional, mental, spiritual, even physical heat. And if you do not have the required protection, you might just break up. That's something we're going to observe with the Israelites tonight. So let's go through the events. You will recall that the 10 spies brought an evil report, Numbers chapter 13, verse 31, saying, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And the whole group then chimed in. Numbers chapter 14, verse 4, they said one to another, "Let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt." So God approached Moses privately, verse 11, "And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me, and how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them?" Now, when God spoke to the nation, he would speak through both Moses and Aaron. Remember when Moses claimed that he wasn't a very good public speaker, and God said, "I'll give you Aaron to be the public speaker." As in chapter 14, verse 26 through 28, the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, but this is a private conversation between God and Moses. Verse 11, the Lord said unto Moses. So this is not for public hearing. This is a private conversation, as God had informed Miriam and Aaron that he would speak to Moses face to face. And so, this private conversation, God says, he has an idea. "I'm done with this people," verse 12. "I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them. And, Moses, I will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they." Remember, Moses, back in chapter 11 and verse 12, you said, "Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them that thou shouldest say unto me, Carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father?" So God says, Numbers chapter 14, verse 12, let's start over with a people that you have conceived. "And will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they." Moses rejected the offer. Verse 13, Moses said unto the Lord, "Then the Egyptians shall hear of it." For thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. Now, verse 15. If thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. God, your reputation is on the line. You do this thing, and people are going to say, you're not the God you claim to be. Verse 17, and now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great according as thou hast spoken. Was God really serious about destroying the whole nation and replacing it with the descendants of Moses? Or was this a test? You ever get these messages on your radio or television? And this weird sound. This is a test. This is only a test. Kind of that way, I think, with Moses. God wanted to see what Moses would do. You see, Moses says in verse 18, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. On the other hand, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. And so, please, I like that word please in prayer. Sometimes I think when we pray to God or talk to God, it's almost, it sounds almost as if we're commanding God to do things. Maybe we should use that word please a little more often. Now, I know Moses didn't use it here, but it seems appropriate to the context. Verse 19, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy, as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. Remember how many times God had forgiven them already? God already had an alternative plan prepared. Okay, Moses, let's go to plan B. Verse 20, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. I won't kill all these people now, he says. They have seen my glory and my miracles. Verse 21, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice. Twice at the sea, Exodus 14, 11 to 12. I think you have this listed in your notes, don't you? Twice concerning water, twice about manna, twice about quails, once by the calf, and now once here in the wilderness of Paran. Well, I forgive them, but there'll be a consequence. This generation will not see the promised land. Verse 23, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But Caleb will be an exception, verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now, we'll find out later that Joshua also will be an exception, but here he mentions only Caleb. So God presents his plan to the people. Verse 26, the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron. So this is a presentation to the people now. Verse 29, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. Everybody that's 20 years old and everybody that's above 20 years old will die in the wilderness. What is the age of accountability? I believe there is an age of accountability. I think there are young people that God will spare because, as Isaiah describes, some very young people, they don't know how to choose between the good and the evil. They haven't arrived at that point. At what point in your life do you know to choose between the good and the evil? In this case, apparently you can be 19 years old and still be unaccountable. You have to be 20 years old. Verse 39, Moses told all these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. The plan, how long shall I bear with this people? Verse 27, with this evil congregation which murmur against me. So this generation, 20 years old and up, are going to die in the wilderness. Verse 28. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Be careful what you wish for. Look back to verse 2. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had, died in the wilderness. Be careful what you wish for. God, we think it would be better if we just go ahead and die here. Okay. Only Joshua and Caleb will get to go into the promised land from those that are older than 19 years old. Verse 30, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. And notice verse 31, but your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. Verse 3, they accuse God of making their wives and children a prey for the people of the promised land. And they despise the promised land by desiring to go back to Egypt. So God says, oh, your children, who you said would be a prey, I prove you wrong. They will go into the promised land. But this generation will spend 40 years in the wilderness, verse 32. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years. Verse 34, after the number of the days in which ye searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. Not that God would not keep his promise of taking the nation into the promised land, but that he would remove his blessing from this generation. And he will keep his promise to the next generation. Verse 35, I, the Lord, have said it, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. The exception is the 10 spies. They die now. Verse 36. And the men which Moses sent to search the land who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against me by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. But the two spies, Joshua and Caleb, will live. Verse 38, Joshua, the son of Nun, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. So the plague didn't touch Joshua and Caleb. Well, there was a public reaction, as you can imagine. Verse 39, and Moses told these sayings unto the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. Were they sorry for being wrong, or sorry for being caught? There's a difference. So what do they do? Verse 40. And they rose up early in the morning and got them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we'll go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. We've sinned. Oh, we were wrong. So now let's go into the promised land. After all, we're here. Why endure the wilderness? Just because God said so. You see what's happening here? God says, go into the promised land and take it. No, we can't do that. God says, okay, then you're going to die in the wilderness. No, we don't have to do that. We made a terrible mistake. So we'll correct one mistake by making another mistake. Here's the thing. God had withdrawn his blessing from the people. Verse 41. Moses said, wherefore now do ye transgress the commandment of the Lord, but it shall not prosper. Why? The Lord is not among you. Verse 42. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. Therefore, you have no protection. The Lord will not be with you. He's not among you, and he will not be with you. Verse 43, for the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword because ye are turned away from the Lord. Therefore, the Lord will not be with you. You'll be facing the enemy entirely on your own. But it's your fault. It's your fault that God is not with you because you decided not to be with God. They went anyway. Verse 44, they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. They presumed. They were heedless, careless, and thoughtless. It was just like the spaceship Columbia without its heat shields. No protection. They're going into the heat of the battle. Have you ever heard that expression? They're going into the heat of the battle with no protection. Verse 45. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, and smote them and discomfited them, even unto Hormah. Smote, a death blow. Discomfited, devastatingly crushed them. The work of the Lord for the Israelites at this time was to go into the promised land. The Lord would have gone with them, and he would have been among them, and he would have given them a tremendous victory, but the people turned from the Lord. Being confronted with their sin, they tried to correct it by doing the work of the Lord without the Lord. How does that go? Why was God so harsh with the people? After all, they did mourn for their wrong in verse 39. Interesting thing about that word mourned as it is used here. The Hebrew dictionary says that this word in this form means to play the part of a mourner. You know, a lot of funerals back in those days, they would hire mourners. And they would go at the beginning of the procession and they would wail, oh. Well, they really didn't know the person they were mourning. They were just pretending. And this word suggests these people were not sincere in their mourning. And God sees the heart. They were sorry, but I think they were sorry for being caught. Remember, they had tempted God 10 times, twice at the sea, twice about water, twice about manna, twice about quail, once at the golden calf, and once here. The people had lost all credibility. If somebody lies to you 10 times, are you going to believe their next words? Yet they tried to do the work of God without God's blessing, as if their efforts would be enough to appease God. I wonder how many churches today have lost God's blessing and yet they try to do the work of God without his blessing. How many individual believers have turned from God and lost his blessing, and yet they still claim to be on his side? Without God's blessing, we will never be able to handle the heat of life's challenges on our own. Don't second guess God. Whenever reading any portion of God's word, don't ever say, he didn't really mean that. That's basically what the Israelites were saying. You're going to go through the wilderness for 40 years. You're all going to die in the wilderness, and you will not see the promised land. He didn't really mean that. We can go fight now and go, we're here. Let's go into the promised land. Didn't you hear what God said? Always take God at his word. If you'll do that, you can enjoy his blessing. And he will protect you from the heat of the battle. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for a reminder that we should not try to do this on our own. We need you. We need to submit ourselves to you. We need to trust you. We need to believe every word you say and never second guess anything you've said. Help us to be those who honor your word and not be those who try to circumvent it in our own power. May we be those who have your protection always because we have your blessing, because we've been faithful to you. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.